So we have no verse today. It's the appearance day of three wonderful Goswamis, kind of, how would you say, preceptors of our tradition. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj. And it's difficult to give a class on all three because each of them deserves a seminar, a series, a course. But anyway, we'll do our best. First, I'd like to talk a little bit about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami because he's the one we know least about. Interestingly, if you didn't write anything, no one has anything to read about you. And so when someone writes something or writes about you, then you have longevity. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami's desire in life wasn't longevity. He was born in 1503 and died, we think, Krishna Krishna, in 1579 or 1580. We know that he was the son of Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. He left Bengal. He was a friend of Advaitacharya. He left Bengal and went to Varanasi, Benares, and he lived there for the rest of his life. Lord Chaitanya had sent him there, and it's kind of like you think it's a bit of a sentence to go to Varanasi, the heartland of the Mayavadis. It was the very heart of the Mayavadis. But he went there, and there was a small little Gaudiya community there. And his son was Raghunath Bhatta. And Raghunath Bhatta lived there for 28 years with his parents before he met Lord Chaitanya. And when he met Lord Chaitanya, he was transformed. He just became like a different person. And he went to Puri to stay for some time with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told him to go to work with Rupa and Sanatan in Vrindavan. He instructed him specifically to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam and chant the holy names constantly. The Supreme Lord will very soon bestow his mercy upon you. That was his instruction. And that's what he followed the rest of his life. They say his voice was like that of a cuckoo. You've all heard a cuckoo, right? You know, in May, there's a thing in the Times of London where there's a report of the first cuckoo. The person who hears the first cuckoo writes into the Times and tells them when the cuckoos have landed. And the cuckoo is not a wonderful song. The lyrics aren't great. It's like cuckoo, cuckoo, but there's a sweetness to the tone. So they've described that he had this wonderful sweetness to his voice. And really what he was famous for was reciting the Bhagavatam. And he didn't just recite it, just ream it off. Every verse he recited in 5 different meters. So he would sing it in 1 meter, then he would sing it in another meter with his lovely voice, then he would sing it in another meter. And everyone was totally captivated. This is like a performance. It was dramatic, it was artistic, it was musical. So it was beautiful. It was using everything at his command to be able to glorify Krishna through the Bhagavatam. And whoever heard him was overwhelmed with feelings of love. And they just lost interest in the world. For the time they were listening, the world just fell away. It just didn't exist for them anymore. So this was from his spirituality. You can hear anyone recite anything, even if it's sacred, but it doesn't penetrate the ears. But he had this qualification. And this is something we'll come back to with these people. One thing that has been said about him in a number of places is that he hated gossip. He didn't like particularly to hear criticism of a Vaishnava's behavior. And it's very easy to criticize Vaishnava's behavior because we do all kinds of stupid things. and it doesn't matter, even if the person did something demonstrably stupid, And everyone knew it was stupid. He still didn't want to hear it. Whereas if someone did something and we know they did it, then we want to kind of go and find out what are the details. So he wouldn't have listened to the news, for instance. So we're all talking about Brexit now or Donald Trump pulling out of Syria and all the speculation about his motivations and the speculation about Boris and Jeremy Corbyn and all that kind of, we're all listening. And it's gossip. There's hardly a fact to be seen. We don't know what anyone thinks or what anyone said or why they said it. It's just gossip. 24-hour news is just gossip. I remember on 24-hour news, there was a storm somewhere. There was a guy standing in the storm, and he turned around. The cameraman obviously pointed. He turned around and said, "Oh, there's a plastic bottle rolling in the ground." That's all he could come up with. It's nothing. There's no substance whatsoever. But Raghunath Bhatta saw this on a deeper level. There is a desire within us to listen to all kinds of tales and stories, and it's always good to be able to look down our nose at someone else. It makes us feel better about ourselves, stronger and purer. But that's not how Raghunath Bhatta Goswami saw the world. That's not how he experienced the world. He saw that everyone that he met was engaged in Krishna service, and he didn't make any distinction. You know, how long have you been in the movement, Prabhu? And that decides how we treat someone. And have you been initiated yet? Oh, okay, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Please accept my obeisances. But you don't get any obeisances if you're not initiated. We have all kinds of hierarchies going on in our head. Raghunath Bhatta didn't see the world like that. So he saw everyone in relation to Krishna. Why? Because that's our philosophy. Everyone is in relation to Krishna. Everyone is an eternal servant of Krishna. And he saw that. That was the reality in which he lived. We don't live in that reality. We live in a reality where someone's Irish or English or Indian or man or woman or black or white, and someone's thick and someone's intelligent and all that. That's of no consequence to him. All these were barriers to spiritual vision, to see who's the real devotee. The Sudra could be the best devotee. The outcast could be the best devotee. The elephant could be the best devotee. At least we have to be open to the possibility. Why? Because that's our philosophy. He lived it. He saw it. So therefore, when he recited the Bhagavatam, it wasn't simply that he had the material means to deliver a wonderful shloka and with beautiful tunes, but he also was delivering the essence. So he was communicating heart to heart. And that's something that you can only do if you have a heart. If we're aware of our heart, if we know who we are in relation to Krishna, then I can relate to anyone else in their relation to Krishna. It's quite, it's very profound. And he didn't write anything, so he just recited. So he had no idea of reputation. He wasn't writing an autobiography. I'm a great chap and I did wonderful things and all that. He just focused on his service because his instruction was very simple. Recite Srimad Bhagavatam and chant the holy names constantly. And he just did it. It's quite a wonderful service. And he was told to go and serve with Rupa and Sanatan, and everyone loved him. Everyone who met him loved him. That was the nature of the person. That's all the reports we have of him was just, he was just a wonderful devotee. Everyone. When glorification was given of him, everyone would just swoon. They just remember him and go, "Oh yeah. Yeah, him, yeah." Well, wouldn't that be nice to be someone like that? We have a lot more to say about Raghunath Das Goswami. Mainly because of Krishna Das Kaviraj, but also because he did leave writings. But I'll talk about Krishna Das Kaviraj first. Krishna Das Kaviraj, he was born in 1520-ish and passed away in 1616 or 1617. So he was 96 or 97. So he was long-lived. And we don't actually know much about him either, even though he's so wonderful, because he wrote Lord Chaitanya's biography, and in it, the biography of so many people, particularly Raghunath Das, who was his guru. So he was particularly attentive to Raghunath Das. But he didn't write much about himself. So again, but what we have from him is quite profound. We have three works by him, the Govinda Lilamrita, which is was highly regarded at the time by all Vaishnavas, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which, because we know he was the person who wrote that. This is what he says of himself in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I am now an old man and an invalid, my hand trembling as I write and my memory fails me. This is a very honest appreciation of himself. He was very old when he was commissioned, encouraged to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I am going blind and deaf, but still I managed to write, and this is a great wonder. So he attributed it all to Madan Mohan, that this is where he got his energy and strength and inspiration from. And he gives a long list of devotees who inspired him and encouraged him. But these are all the people who encouraged him. He got his energy and strength from Madan Mohanji, but this is who he was. So imagine you're an old man, you're in your 80s maybe when this commission came, and your hand trembles, and you can't remember anything, and you're going blind, and you're practically deaf. What do you think of doing? Writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Have you seen how long that book is? It's not the first thing that comes into your mind. It's like a cup of tea and a biscuit. Yeah. You know, as you get older and all these things start to happen, it's a bit of a thing. You feel the body changing. You feel your mortality. And you understand that, this is not so good now. You know, I can't see, I can't hear. How are you engaging with the world? You can hardly see the world. You can't even hear the world. You can't pick anything up, because as you pick it up... Yet he took on this task. This is quite wonderful. This is the quality of the people we're talking about. That they're inspired by the devotees and by the Lord, they just do it. Whatever service is to be done, Krishna, Krishna. It's not about the body. Whereas for us, unfortunately, it's often just about the body. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. While Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami was once glorifying the supremacy of Chaitanya Charitamrita to his disciples, he instructed them as follows. If all the books in the world were destroyed, leaving only Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, then people would still be able to achieve the ultimate goal in life. And even if the Srimad Bhagavatam were lost, leaving only the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there would still be no loss to humanity. For that which has not been revealed in the Bhagavatam is found in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The supreme absolute truth is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the combined form of Radha and Krishna. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is his sound incarnation. The divine mystery of Radharani's divine status and glories are found therein. Can there be any doubt, therefore, of the supreme status of this piece of transcendental literature? That's quite a statement. What a thing to say, that if all the literature was lost except that one book, we're fine. We can achieve perfection. We can become the people that we need to become to respect ourselves, not to speak of love, which is what the book is all about. So it's quite a... So we see, so who was this person that wrote this book? And it's an amazing piece of literature. Not simply a biography of Lord Chaitanya, but it's a biography. Who was writing biography at that time? It became the standard of biography for medieval India. So then all kinds of people started to write biographies of people. And how he wrote it is quite historical, unusually historical for Indian culture. He talked about people and where they were from and when they were born, and it's easy to discern these things from the writing. At the same time, it's a very profound book of philosophy, of thinking, high-level thinking about the world, analyzing, and theology. Who is God? What is our relationship with God? It's all there. Now, he said that this was the sum and substance of the diaries of Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar was the guru of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he kept a diary. And he instructed Raghunath Das Goswami to memorize the diary. And Raghunath Das Goswami gave this diary in this form to Krishnadas Kaviraj. We don't have the text of the diaries, but we have this. And interestingly, Krishnadas Kaviraj reassures us that this is the sum and substance. So he's making a concerted endeavor to make sure that this information is written down. So this is kind of condensed the diary of Swarup Damodar Goswami. He also didn't want to step on the toes of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who had written the first biography of Lord Chaitanya, which he thought was perfectly good. He wanted to supplement it. So he repeats some of the things that he says. So it's important to read both, really. But when it comes to development of theology and philosophy, that's all in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this person, of whom we know little, we don't know what caste he was from. There's a strong suspicion he was a Brahmin, but we actually don't know. We don't know if he had been married or if he was a lifelong brahmachari. There's schools of thought on either side. We're not quite sure. We do know where he was born, and there is a ashram in his name there, and some memorabilia. But apart from that, we know little. But he left us this tremendous work that has transformed our ability to understand Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna and the Goswamis themselves. And then the third person that we're celebrating today is Raghunath Das Goswami, of whom we know tons. He was born in 1494, so he was the older of them. And he died in the 1560s, I think it was. He was born in Krishnapur. His father was Govinda Majumdar, who was a very wealthy landowner. Raghunath was surrounded. He was born into a community of Vaishnavas. His father, his brother, his uncles were all very closely associated with Advaita Acharya. His family priest, everyone was somehow a Gaudiya Vaishnav. So he met Haridas Thakur at a very early age, and Haridas blessed him. And this was considered to be the beginning of his spiritual life, just this meeting with this sadhu. He was a very young boy at the time, and Haridas Thakur just looked at him and patted him on the head and blessed him. But it made a big impression on Raghunath Das. It transformed his life. These stories of this transformation, they should help us understand how spiritual transformation begins. It begins with the association of a devotee. And we don't know how it begins. I think I've told the story here before about Vrahamurti, a devotee. He's an Irish devotee. He joined here in England and he went back to Ireland. And there was a little temple in the early 70s in Dublin for a while. And he was in that temple, and one Sunday he just had a brainstorm. He was going to go up to Belfast and distribute books. So he went up to Belfast on the bus, got off, and unfortunately in those days, Belfast is a very Protestant, pious place. Nothing was open. Dead as a doornail. So he gets off the bus, goes into town, nothing. So he starts walking up the Lisburn Road, bad choice, longest street in Belfast. And he walks up to the Lisburn Road and he meets no one. He takes a turn to the left. He walks up a little road. He goes to the first house, knocks on the house. This chap answers the door. He told him everything he had to tell everyone that day. Gave him a book, got some money, walked away. and came home. And of course, when he got to the temple, everyone said, what happened? They gave out a book. Oh, God. Failure. Who was the person he gave the book to? His name became Akhandaridas. So we don't know what's happening in our interactions with people. You meet a person at the checkout regularly, and you share something someday, and what's the spark? What's the thing that wakes someone up? So we're just available. We don't know what the plan is. We don't know what the big picture is. We don't know who we're talking to. This is why Raghunath Das kept his mind open. This is why he saw everyone as a servant of Krishna. Everyone is available for service. Everyone could wake up at any moment. It's just a matter of Krishna, Krishna. And it's their time. And you just have to be in the right time at the right place. And Rahamurti's failed excursion wasn't a failure for Bhaktivedanta Manor. And so many other devotees. So what was the failure? Where is the failure in service? We just have to get up, dress up, and show up. Everything else is up to Krishna. And we just do our thing with a smile on our face. And everyone we meet, we smile at them. And hope they smile back. If they smile back, then they're smiling for Krishna. Krishna gives them credit. The most encouraging thing I ever read possibly was in the first canto in a purport, Prabhupada says that when we meet someone, and even if they meet a devotee and just think, oh, that was a nice person, that Krishna person, then Krishna takes it as pure devotional service. Krishna is so eager to love us. No, he does love us, but he wants the reciprocation. He's so eager for that relationship to come back again that as soon as someone gives any credit that is somehow connected with him, he takes it as an offering of love. And then he just focuses on that person. Prabhupada says, then their spiritual life begins. We don't know what that time is. The person at the checkout, the person in the garage, you know, our teacher. It could be anyone. We don't know at what time they suddenly say, Hare Krishna people are nice. They'll only say it if the Hare Krishna people are nice, of course. Which is our challenge. Our challenge isn't to freak people out. If you don't do this, then have you heard of the Yamadutas? Well, let me tell you about the Yamadutas. That's not the story we want to tell. The story we want to tell is let me tell you about Krishna. Let me tell you about you. And how you can be happy. Or just let me wish you a good day. Let me congratulate you. Let me nod my head at you and acknowledge your presence. Let me give you respect. We don't know what it is that's going to impress someone. We don't know what their psychological dramas are, what their needs are. We just have to feed that need, but Krishna will do it. We just have to be a devotee. And that's what these people are showing us. These are acharyas, people who are teaching by example. Just their life is enough. Just how they led their life, their detachment. Raghunath Das Goswami was particularly known for his renunciation. I mean, we would think it extreme, but that's what he was known for. He tried to join Lord Chaitanya over and over again. Lord Chaitanya visited the family home, and he was just, again, transformed. And he kept on trying to run away, and he kept on getting caught. He obviously wasn't very good at running away. But and his father had 8 people watching him at any time. So it was like heavy kind of stuff. And eventually he went to meet Lord Nityananda, and he got Lord Nityananda's mercy. And eventually he got to Jagannath Puri, where he met Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, go down to the bottom. Yes, when he went and met Lord Chaitanya, so he'd taken all this trouble to detach himself and run away from home, very Hare Krishna, right? Run away from the parents and all material things and all that kind of stuff. So you read the books, and that's the thing, right? You go to the devotees, leave everything, come and follow us and all that kind of stuff. Hey. And he turned up at Lord. What did Lord Chaitanya say to him? He said, calm yourself and return home. Interesting. Not what we'd expect. Don't be foolish. What? Sorry. I've gone through so much bloody trouble to get here. It takes time to cross the ocean of material suffering. Don't make a show of monkey renunciation. Monkey renunciation is a monkey looks very renounced because he lives under a tree and he has no possessions and he bounces or he goes from place to place. But, of course, he's only interested in enjoyment. Simply for other people's benefit. Enjoy the worldly life in a moderate way without attachment. Okay, we haven't heard that before. Hang on, let's go back here. Enjoy the worldly life. Let's just keep it at that. That's the instruction. Oh, in a moderate way. Okay. Without attachment. Oh, okay. But that's what he was asked to do. Be fixed on Krishna internally while externally dealing with the world in the appropriate fashion. So don't be some lunatic revolutionary. Be appropriate. Dress appropriately. Act appropriately. Don't be rude. Don't be annoying. Don't be ignorant. Learn how to act. It will not be long before Krishna delivers you. So this is someone who did the full Monty, ran away from home, did all the stuff. Krishna says, Lord Chaitanya says, calm yourself. Why? Because that's hysterical. It's too drastic. It's not going to help. And he's saying to him, it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you become a renounced person by just forcing renunciation. By doing it, go from 0 to 60 in 5 minutes. I don't know, all of you who've lived in the ashram and you shave your head the first time and you wake up the next morning, you look in the mirror and you've got a bald head. And that's the only benefit. You've still got lust, anger and greed. All the rest is still going on. All you've got is a bald head. That's all you gained. So when does renunciation come? How does it come? That's a much bigger journey. Shaving the head is only the beginning of it, and it's very external, because the hair grows back, as we can see. So when he eventually escaped the final time and came back to Lord Chaitanya after being a very good boy. He went to Jagannath Puri. And it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami would never speak to the Lord directly, but asked Govinda or Swarup Damodar to submit any question or request to the Lord on his behalf. One day he asked the Lord through Swarup Damodar to instruct him personally on his duties. When the Lord heard this, he told Raghunath that Swarup Damodar knew far more than he did, and that he should take instruction from him about the goal of life and how to attain it. When Raghunath's eagerness to hear from him directly did not abate, the Lord said, if he has faith in my words, then let him follow these instructions. And these instructions are... Do not listen to gossip. That again, nor engage in gossip yourself. You should not eat very palatable food, nor should you dress very nicely. Always chant the holy name of Lord Krishna without any expectation of honor, offering all respect to others. Mentally render service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. These are very specific instructions, very different from those to Raghunath Bhatta. We can't take these instructions and say, this is my instruction. These are instructions for these devotees. We can see they're very specific. Because his mental service to Radha and Krishna became famous to the extent that he, when he was in Vrindavan, he only ate whey, just the liquid from the curded milk. And he was ill one time, and they called in two doctors who came and examined him, and he was suffering the symptoms of someone who had eaten too much milk and rice. And they said this to him. They were totally bewildered because they knew he only had whey. And he said, oh, yesterday when I was serving the Lord, I served him some milk and rice and we all sat and ate it together. This is quite powerful meditation. We know that the mind influences the body and we can get sick because of our mind. The mind is extremely powerful. But he was famous for his meditations. He would go into deep meditation and go into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, which is very much part of our tradition. But he also says, don't listen to gossip, don't engage in gossip yourself. And then he says, don't eat palatable food or dress very nicely. Always chant the holy name of Lord Krishna without any expectation of honor, offering all respect to others. Lord Chaitanya says this quite consistently. This is part of his Shikshastika prayers. But of all the Shikshastika verses, this is the one that he repeats over and over again. So this is really something we have to take note of. And the fact that he said it too. So to chant without any expectation of honor, offering all respect to others. That's very humble. That's a very difficult practice. We all know that. When we hear Trinada Pisanichi now, we know what that means. It's a very powerful verse. It really speaks to us. So Raghunath, all his experiences with Lord Chaitanya, before he went to Vrindavan, he himself summarizes them in his verses in the Chaitanya Stava Kalpa Vriksha, which can be found. And the translation of the verse where he talks about it is, by his mercy, Sri Gauranga took pleasure in delivering me, though I am a fallen soul, the lowest of men, from the blazing forest fire of great material opulence, and entrusted me to his personal associate, Sarup Damodar. He gave me the cherished Gunja garland that he wore on his chest, as well as his Govardhan Shila, and now he awakens within my heart and makes me mad after him. So this was his personal assessment. So his Lord Chaitanya gave him everything. He elevated him. He gave him his Gunja garland. He was given a Gunja garland, Lord Chaitanya, and Govardhan Shila by a devotee in Braj. And he worshipped them for 3 years. And he gave them to Raghunath. And his instruction was for the Shila, just worship him with water and tulsi leaves and manjaris, which means just water and flowers. So it's extremely simple worship. The focus is on Krishna. The focus is on love and on relationship. It's not about pancharatra and puja and all the rules and regulations. It's very, very simple. We can go overboard with this, I've noticed. But this is very simple worship so that he could focus on his meditations. And then he went to, when Lord Chaitanya and Sarup Damodar Swami passed away, he went to Vrindavan, specifically with the aim of committing suicide. He didn't think he could live in the world. It's very interesting, in our tradition, the amount of people who contemplate committing suicide. As not only that, I read, I don't know if you've ever taken the time to read the Ramayana. It's a big book, really, but when you read Valmiki's Ramayana, every 5 minutes someone is saying, oh, I can't take it anymore, I'm going to throw myself off a bridge. So it's full of emotion. It's full of emotion and drastic act. You cannot live in this world without the Lord. This world is just not a place worth bothering about. Now, if we think like that materially, then there's one solution. But interestingly, if you think like that spiritually, there's one solution. So when he got to Vrindavan, he met with Rupa and Sanatan, and they understood his desire. And they had to spend a long time, it's recorded, they had to spend a long time talking to him to dissuade him. And as we know, he went on to lead a very long life. He led a very long life in Vrindavan after everything else he had done. And he lived in Radha Kund. And he served 22 hours a day. He offered 1,000 obeisances every day. He chanted 100,000 Hare Krishnas, Hare Krishnas. And of course he did hours of meditation. And he only lived on whey. So this is the guy who was told to go out and enjoy the world. That's the result of such an instruction. So this is what happens when you pace yourself. This is kind of how to do it. He also actually established Radha Kund and Shama Kund as we know it. They didn't really exist. Lord Chaitanya had found these pools, but they were really just little ponds surrounded by brush and scrub. And he had the desire, he was actually encouraged to stay there and develop these places. But he kind of didn't want to get involved in management. So this person, a very wealthy merchant who was on his way in pilgrimage to Badrikashram, he was passing through Braj and he had a dream where Krishna told him to go and find Raghunath Das and fund the development of what we see today. It's exactly what we see today. It was built by Raghunath Das. And he built Radha Kund, rectangular, and Shama Kund is kind of clunky. Have you noticed that? Kind of strange shape. The reason why it's a strange shape is there were five trees on the bank of Shama Kund. And he was going to chop them down. And then he had a dream. And Yudhisthira Maharaj came to him in the dream. And he said, these five trees are us Pandavas. Please don't cut us down. We're here to serve Krishna. So he organized the lake around the trees, which is more ecologically friendly than cutting them down. But there you go. And here's some verses by, just one verse, by Krishna Das Kaviraj from his Chaitanya Chandradoya. He says, Raghunath Das is a disciple of Yadunandan Acharya, who is very gentle and is extremely dear to Vasudev Dutt, a resident of Kanchanapali. Because of Raghunath Das's transcendental qualities, he is always more dear than life for all of us devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Since he has been favored by the abundant mercy of Sri Chaitanya, he is always pleasing. Vividly providing a superior example for the renounced order, this very dear follower of Sarup Damodar Das Goswami is the ocean of renunciation. Who among the residents of Nilachal does not know him very well? So, as I said, these three people were acharyas for us. They've taught us by example. They're also authorities. They're people who, in their expression, have taught us. Not only by example, but in an authorized way, they've been able to share their realization. So they've taken their example that's seen in life, and they've written it down in the case of Krishna's Kaviraj and Raghunath Das. They're also very profound scholars. Their scholarship is very impressive. These are learned people. And just to read their works, you understand these people know a lot. Their literary expression is from someone who understands literature. It's the same with all the Goswamis. In fact, our rasa theory, the idea of rasa, is a literary critical theory from the 11th century. So it's developed for literary criticism, for the development of plays and works of literature. So how do you express emotion when you're doing drama? And it analyzes all the different rasas that you should be able to express. Rupa Goswami takes this and transforms it into theology, our relationship with Krishna. This is very learned, very innovative, extremely interesting. So how do we use things in the world? We don't dismiss learning. We use it. These people, this is exactly what they've done. They all quote all kinds of people who they're aware of, which means they're reading other things. When we explore the Vrindavan, the early first generation Vrindavan, shall we say, where Lord Chaitanya asked the Goswamis to develop Vrindavan, which they did wonderfully, and all kinds of groups came very quickly. The Vishnu Swamis, the Ramnadis, all kinds of other groups, the followers of Vallabhacharya, but they all worked together. So you see in the works of the Goswamis and these early people, you see them quoting verses from other traditions, something that we wouldn't do anymore because of sectarian reasons. These were very learned, very widely read, and very broad-minded. And this is a wonderful example to us, to be so broad-minded that we can look into other traditions and find Krishna, find Krishna bhakti. You know, have, like Lord Chaitanya heard the person singing the song, and it was just a popular song of the time, like Beyonce or something. And Lord Chaitanya, but it was a love song. Lord Chaitanya just heard that it was about Radha and Krishna. That's all he heard. So he went chasing after this person who happened to be a woman. So the devotees had to go, oh, no, no, no. It's not what's going on here. But it was for Lord Chaitanya. So how do we see Krishna everywhere? How do we repurpose things? Plagiarism has never been an issue in our tradition. It's never been an issue in any Indian tradition. This broad-mindedness is part of our tradition, and we can see it in these scholars. And more than that, these people were asked by Lord Chaitanya and successfully established tradition. They established devotional traditions, philosophical traditions, theological traditions, literary traditions, poetic traditions, dramatic traditions. It's very, very broad. It was a full culture of expression. You go to Vrindavan and there's all the rasa plays, the leela plays. We have all of this within our whole grasp. And we don't yet know what our tradition is because we haven't explored the works of the Goswamis. A lot of us don't feel scholarly enough. But the fact is, if you read Prabhupada's purports, a huge percentage is Jiva Goswami. We have to be able to discern who is Prabhupada quoting, who is he paraphrasing. We have to become that learned. We've all heard of the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it's a very long book, the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it's the rules and regulations how to regulate your life. What are the two main festivals of the Hari Bhakti Vilas, written by Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, so very authoritative. What are the two main festivals in the first generation of Gaudiya Vaishnavas? What are the two main Gaudiya festivals that they recommend, that they talk about celebrating? Panihati Festival? Anything else? Panihati Festival was started by Raghunath Das, so happens. Anything else? Jamashtami? Holy? Anything else? Oh, go on. Gopranim? Diwali, Anakut. The two main festivals were Jamashtami and Shivratri. And if you bring a Shiva Lingam into an ISKCON temple, what kind of response are you going to get? The things have changed. Why have they changed? What was the understanding then? Who is Lord Shiva in our tradition? Who is Gopeshwari in Vrindavan? Why do you take the blessings of Lord Shiva before you go to Radhakund? Do we know these things? So the tradition they've established is still to be discovered, I would suggest. I think what they have presented us with is absolutely incredible in terms of the volume of literature that the Goswamis produced, which is exactly what Lord Chaitanya asked them to do. It's absolutely incredible in terms of a literary corpus, a body of work that's worthy of study. It's exceedingly well done. Some of it is literature, it's poetry. Some of it is philosophy and theology. You know, some of it is just kind of a prosaic storytelling. It's just wonderful as literature, just purely as literature. And then when you get into the substance, what are they talking about? Again, this is absolutely incredible work. And we haven't studied it. So 500 years later, this literature is still to be uncovered. We've just uncovered a bit. And the bit that we've uncovered, do we read it? Do we study it if we read it? Reading it is one thing, studying it is something else. There's a lot to be done. There's a lot of service we have to do to these people. Out of gratitude, if nothing else, we should support every endeavor to open up their work to the world. Because these are the works that Lord Chaitanya wanted to be opened up to the world. So they've given us a legacy and we have to do something with it, not sit on it. Not create a mausoleum about it. And go up every year to the mausoleum and we throw flowers. Raghunath Das ki jai, Krishna's Kaviraj ki jai, Raghunath Pata, who was he? Ki jai, sorry. Yeah. And they're the reason why, you know, I sometimes think, sometimes the thought might cross your mind, is the Hare Krishna movement a cult? It's a bit weird sometimes. I remember as a young devotee, I was worried about that, and I went and talked to the temple president. And after the talk, I thought, yep. But these are the people, by their example, I can understand that we're not a cult. That this is a very broad-minded, extremely intellectual tradition. We're devotional, but we're also intellectual. And we're so broad-minded, we can talk to anyone. We can embrace anyone. We can see Krishna in anyone's practice. We can see sincerity everywhere and encourage it and fan it and not pour water on it because it's got the wrong label. We can all do that if we understand who we are. Krishna, Krishna, I have misread the time very badly because I thought, I usually give it at the weekend and it's 1:45 and it's actually 8:30, so now is the end. Sorry. I beg your pardon. So, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami ki, Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami ki, Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hari Hari Bol.